numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Oh, yes. Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here as well, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. How you doing, Kelly? Good?
Doing good, man. Yeah. Doing good.
Yeah. Chock full of guests today.
Yeah, we are. A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. Adam Kramer on college football. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke talking baseball and football with him. Mike Pritchard on the show. How about that? Co-host of VSiN's Pro Football Blitz. Mike Pritchard, former number one draft pick with the Atlanta Falcons. They succumbed that rookie year to the greatest football team of all time, the 91 Skins in RFK State. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on a tangent. Dan Weston, tennis today from across the pond. Dan Weston back on the show. How about that? U.S.
Tennis
Open.
And cricket, right? Cricket breakdown with him as well.
Dan has meandered over to the cricket world as well. And Kelly and I debated we wasted about 5 to 10 minutes of our lives yesterday texting on how a cricket segment with just you and I would go. And how long would it take for anybody to notice that we were completely making it up?
Yeah, yeah. Is there anybody out there listening? Let us know right now. How long, if Gil and I structured a completely fake cricket argument segment over some betting odds, how long could we go before you realized we didn't know anything of what we're talking about?
Boy, the way that guy hits the wicket.
You sort of learned what a wicket was yesterday.
Sort of, kind of. Will Hill joins us, too, also to talk with all his baseball picks today, his NFL picks for the weekend as well. So he's all over the place with picks. We'll get to that momentarily. We start, as we always do during the U.S. Open, with tennis. Yesterday, clean sheet. The old 2-0 yesterday. Easy peasy on the first one. Casper Ruud, straight set victory over Matteo Berrettini. Got that one home. And then last night, also a straight set victory for Caroline Garcia against the American Coco Gauff. Or as Chrissy Everett refuses to call her Caroline Garcia and calls her Caroline Garcia. Well, she's French.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Just refuses. So those were nice. We should always have days like that if we can. Today, just one play in tennis. It is on the ladies' side. Karolina Pliskova is the pick this morning. It starts in a little less than 2 hours against Aryna Sabalenka. I got her last night at plus 116. Anything plus money is a play. Anything plus money is a play on Pliskova. Don't let it get worse than that. This is one of those where it's sort of like this ought to be a coin flip kind of match. But if you're getting plus money, there's value. And the more plus money you can get, obviously, the more value. Pliskova is one of these players who is more veteran than Sabalenka. She's more sort of steady. Sabalenka has a history of serve problems, although she seems to have eradicated those problems here early in the U.S. Open. But in big moments, who do I trust more? I trust Pliskova way more. So that's the play here today.
Yeah, she's definitely taking money. I'm seeing her at even money at a couple spots now.
Don't let it get past that. You might even be – I know I saw some plus 105s that are still out there, so I would play those if you can find those as well. But that's the pick. The biggest thing that happened yesterday is we lost another one of our futures plays, Nick Kyrgios. Kelly, we knew it was too good to be true.
Yeah.
He loses in five grueling sets to Karen Khachanov. What a match.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it. I watched basically all of it.
But Kyrgios just, he didn't care when the match started. He wasn't like, his fundamentals were off. His footwork was terrible. He was lollygagging. He was just, he did tweeners. He just doesn't care.
I feel like every time I see Kyrgios, you know, it always happens to be the ending match. Like, yeah. You know, whenever his tournament ends, it's always, it's kind of like what you're talking about where you see all these things come out. Does he always do the serve so quick back to back? Like, fault on the first serve and immediately fires a second serve?
Well, when he becomes frustrated, yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what I was like. I was like, is this like a regular Kyrgios thing or a frustrated Kyrgios?
We saw Danielle freaking Collins do that the other night, too, when she started to get frustrated against Sabalenka. She would just go right back up there and pound it. The difference is Kyrgios relies on that serve to get him out of all kinds of jams.
Right.
He couldn't quite get him out of the jams last night. He tried. He almost did. Got to a fifth set. But it was not meant to be. And congratulations, by the way, to J-Rod, one of our listeners, who had Karen Khachanov winning that quarter at 40-1, not in a million years would I have bet that.
Man, nice.
So good on you. So Kyrgios falls by the wayside. Let me just say this about Nick Kyrgios' career, just last thing. He got to the finals at Wimbledon. He faced Djokovic. We get it. He lost. this was the one he had to win. He's never going to win a slam. He's never going to win a slam after this. You just can't imagine. Like, this was the one. Nadal was cleared. Djokovic wasn't playing. Federer, obviously not. That was it. And I think if you're in his camp, I think you realize that. It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, this was obviously the window.
This was it.
So who the heck is it now?
It's probably either Casper Ruud or Carlitos now. Casper Ruud or Carlitos, who play in different semifinals. The last part of the quarters is today. Again, our only pick is Pliskova. Iga's got a tough match against Pegula. She's got to get through that. And if you look at the U.S. Open odds right now, Caroline Garcia is actually a bit shorter than Iga because Iga has to play one more match, essentially, at this point. So that's why you see that number where it is right now. But I would say, Pegula's numbers are great. Her game doesn't really match up well with Iga's. Iga has trouble with big hitters. Jesse Pegula's not exactly that. But I think this is, Iga till it's Iga's till till it's not. And Caroline Garcia would be the biggest threat there. It was the summer of Kyrgios. It's the summer of Caroline Garcia on the ladies' side. So men's side, there it is. Carlitos and Casper Ruud. By the way, I do hope that people who listened to the show yesterday, when you asked me what's the best bet right now on the men's side or on the ladies' side, I did say Casper Ruud, 12-1.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's 3-1. He's the second shot on that.
Man, no love for Tiafoe, huh?
Well, he plays Rublev today. That's a coin flip, and it ought to be a coin flip. And, But that bottom, the Khachanov and Tiafoe, no one really saw that coming. Especially the case of Khachanov.
I mean, I don't watch a ton of tennis, but man, every time I feel like I watch Francis Tiafoe, he looks better and better, I feel like, over the past year and a half.
Francis Tiafoe from the DMV, baby, College Park, Maryland. Let's get it done. Sorry, just had a shout-out to the DMV.
Yeah.
Okay. A little football news and notes. Sources saying that Chargers corner J.C. Jackson not expected to play week one. Jackson wasn't on the practice field Monday. That's courtesy of Taylor Bisciotti.
Yeah, that might be pretty big for that game.
Could be. It's a 3 in favorite of Chargers, but 3 in heavy juice. There's some 3.5s out there as well now, Chargers against the Raiders. And then basketball news, free.
That's mostly 3.5s now.
Now 3.5s? Yeah. Yeah, it was teetering. Basketball news, free agent center Montrezl Harrell signing a 2-year, $5.2 million deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. It's his 6th team since 2015. That's his whole career. He is well on pace to break the all-time record of most teams played for. Harrell was the NBA Sixth Man of the Year for the 2019-20 season while playing for the Clippers under head coach Doc Rivers and assistant Sam Cassell, who are now with the Sixers. So there's that.
Yeah, I mean, look, is it massive news? No, not at all. But yeah. Great role player for the 76ers to pick up. Montrezl Harrell can thank his lawyers or the judge or whoever who sent his marijuana charge last month down to a misdemeanor just a couple weeks ago, because I have a feeling that's why he's even on a team right now. So, that's going to be a big pickup for the 76ers, though. I think he'll be a good role player there.
Okay. You still got him, what, 4th, 5th in the East? Tops?
Yeah.
Yeah. He does not move the needle in that respect. I want to give a shout-out to Circa, not just for the Millions contest and the Survivor contest, both of which I signed up for yesterday, Kelly. By the way, seamless as ever, seamless process. I did it over at the Tuscany, their little satellite sports book off the strip. Do people know about that? I don't think we talk about that enough.
Okay, so I first learned of it probably 9 months ago, a year ago. So, I've kind of just discovered it, and I still have never been there.
Super duper convenient for those of us who live in or around the strip, or for those of us who live dead smack in the middle of the strip.
Yeah, or, for more people out there, if you're visiting here and you don't have time to make it downtown because you're stuck on the strip,
that's right.
A great option to know about.
A little known secret is Tuscany, right off the strip on Flamingo, walked right in there, no line. Couldn't have been more helpful. Hooked it up. Signed up for both contests. So shout out to Circa for that. But the other thing is they're doing this in additional. Matt Eumanns came up with this idea, the Circa Friday Football Invitational. Let's give him a shout out for that, because Eumanns is doing shows on Friday and Saturday nights here at VSiN. And he came up with this idea. Derek Stevens was all aboard on it. And so it ends up being 16 invited handicappers are competing with no entry fee required in a season-long contest with $25,000 in prizes awarded. September 9th through Friday, January 6th, all 18 weeks of the NFL season. And the rules are such. It's sort of like a, I guess it's a nod to the old Golden Nugget format, I guess, would be the closest.
Yeah,
the most akin to it. Five plays a week, college and NFL sides and totals. Whatever's on the circuit board, you can pick from any of those games, college or pro, sides or totals. No props, no team totals, no first half plays. They do add that. With one designated as the best bet. So of the five, one has to be your sort of money ball. And there's 16 guys doing it. By the way, I think starting in week 8, if I'm not mistaken, it goes into a guillotine kind of thing where somebody gets axed. So if you're at the bottom, I think you start to get axed one by one starting in week 8.
Yeah, go to VSiN.com. You can read
all the details.
There's way more rules to this. I wish I could give an easy summary of all this, Gil, but yeah, you're right. There's a lot more to this. Well,
they thought it through.
They did.
So just, you know, some of the guys that are in this.
At the conclusion of week 9 of the NFL schedule, the contestant with the lowest point total will be cut.
Okay, there you go.
And then the same elimination process will continue each week for the following 7 weeks through week 16 of the NFL schedule.
So starting at the end of week 9, they start to axe. Okay, some of those who are competing, great field. Chris the Bear Felica, our buddy the Bear. Steve Fezzik, 2-time Westgate Super Contest champion. Doug Kazarian from ESPN. Randy McKay, VSiN Fan of the Year. James Salinas, former Super Contest winner. Aaron Renning, who else in here? Mark Lawrence, Adam Hill. A who's who, 16 deep. That should be fun to track all year as well. Coming back with Will Hill next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the sports betting.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app. It won't take you but a few seconds. And then stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Paul Carr, our soccer guy, Premier League guy, he said he just sprinkled on Pliskova over at FanDuel at plus 102 as soon as we mentioned it, and she was down to minus 114 a minute later. Didn't we do that?
Oh, boy.
Will Hill, ladies and gentlemen, not only a man who likes to bet some tennis, but also some pro college football, basketball, baseball. He bets it all. How you doing, Will?
Tackle football. It's in the air. It's actually a little chilly here on the East Coast. It's sort of sweater weather. It went from like July to October overnight. So that's your weather report here. But feels like football, pennant race, baseball. We got four New York games today. Mets, Yankees. It was hard to handicap because these pitching changes, these huge lines. So kind of a weird day in baseball, but a great time of the year.
Yeah, two doubleheaders involving the Mets and the Yankees. And doubleheaders are always squirrely for betting anyway, because lineups, you have to like be super vigilant about who's playing where. So they're tough. Did you end up, so the Mets line got too high. You thought about playing them, but you didn't in the end?
Yeah, I saw it pop up this morning. It was around $2. And I waited, like you said, I wanted to see some lineups, at least for the early games. It starts at 12:30 here on the East. It went down again, then it came up, and I saw minus 250, minus 265 in that range. So to me, that's just a little too rich for my blood. I do think the Mets will sweep today. I don't know if they've announced a pitcher for the second game. I know it's Bassett game one. I think it's DeGrom's turn to go in game two. And I don't know if you saw Scherzer's gone to the IL. Marte's hurt. So that lead for the Mets is all gone. It seems like
Gonzo.
From the first week in April, they've led this thing. And Atlanta got close. But every time Atlanta got close, the Mets would inch away. The Braves finally caught them. But the Braves' schedule does get a little tougher here this next week or so. But the Mets are beat up. And we're headed for a great pennant race here.
Tell me the truth. If you tap your inner Mets soul, didn't you know this was going to happen? Didn't you know?
I thought, especially when they beat them 4 out of 5 at Citi Field just a few weeks ago, they got it up to a 7-game lead with, I don't know, middle of August. I mean, usually you're going to win that, especially when you have DeGrom, you have Scherzer, you have Bassett, you have all that pitching. That's usually enough to hold on, and the Mets really haven't done anything wrong.
That's right.
Until the last 3 days when they lost 3 in a row to the Nationals and the Pirates. This has been really the low point of their season. All the other times of, you know, blowing a 10.5-game lead June 1st, All the other lead squandering has really just been a circumstance where Atlanta just plays lights out baseball. Now it's a situation where the Mets, they can look at themselves and say, hey, playing the Pirates here, playing the Nationals, we can't score a run. This is on us.
And again, for those who, you know, missed the playoff format this year, if you don't win your division and the Mets will still get in as a wild card, you end up having to play best of three. It will be at Citi Field. The Mets will have them at home, but what it threatens to do is sort of mess up your rotation for a subsequent series, even if you go by. So it doesn't become ideal. In other words, even if you get through that best of three. So that's what's on the line. What did you end up?
Plus it's, sorry to interject,
yeah, no, go ahead.
Plus it's a situation where you're going to be playing the Dodgers in the best of five, even if you get through the best of three. Like you mentioned, you're going to burn your pitching. Whereas if you win the division, there's huge stakes for this division, because if you win your division, you're playing some version of the Cardinals or the Phillies, which, look, anybody could beat anybody in a short series. But the Cardinals are not the Dodgers. The Phillies are not the Dodgers. So it's a huge swing to go from being the two seed to the wild card, even if you get through the best two out of three.
You would get the Dodgers in the division series as opposed to the championship series. That's what that would entail as well. So what did you end up falling on in baseball today then?
Took under White Sox Mariners, and then I did take under Braves with Strider going against the A's and Waldichuk. And it's funny, we joke about the AL Central. It's just no matter when you look up and these teams, they go back and forth. It's always three teams within three games.
It's amazing.
It really is. The White Sox, I think, got within a game and a half the other night, but then lost a couple in a row. It's status quo, really, from May on. It's just the same version of these three teams being separated by three games, although Cleveland and Minnesota have flopped here. So switched who was in first and in second.
Yeah, but to your point, I mean, the fact that no one has fallen off, right? That's what happens when they're all mediocre. Guardians now with a game and a half lead over the Twins, who again have that doubleheader today against the Yankees. White Sox now three back to 500 are the Chicago White Sox. That's it for baseball today? That was it?
I think those are the two I'm playing so far. Again, it's tough. There's a lot of huge prices, a lot of -250, -300 plus out there, a lot of doubleheaders. So kind of a weird day in baseball, though. I do like betting baseball. Once football starts, I don't know. I know you don't bet baseball as much as you used to. I'm curious to pick your brain for a second. Did you find once football started, the lines are a little softer in baseball?
Well, I mean, for me, again, this is just recent years. I do think that the brain dead money line parlays end up kind of being the best thing out there. Right, because I just, a lot of people are like, the rosters expand and it becomes a little more difficult. I just found like you shut your brain off at that point, because there's some nights where you're like, well, these teams have got to do this, and these teams are just playing out the string. And there is some as brain dead as it is, that's why they're called that. I just think that's the best bet. If you try to like go into your model and try to figure out who's going to beat, it's just a futile sort of exercise. Special numbers game investigation, Will, reveals that the National Football League season begins tomorrow night. Not sure if you're aware of this. Bills and Rams, you have thoughts and you have bets.
Well, this is great. You guys were able to confirm that. I don't know what kind of research you guys doing over there. That's incredible.
We're the best.
Yeah, I think the Rams are a great teaser piece. I think there's some value on them at the 2.5, but again, you're not dealing with the key number of 3. I just make this closer to a pick. I did tease the Rams with the Vikings. I think there's a bunch of great teaser legs out there. I think you guys have mentioned the Browns, the Cowboys. I went with Rams and Vikings going through the 3, through the 7. I do like the over, too. I just think Buffalo's secondary is beat up without White, without Poyer. You give McVay all this time to game plan. I don't know how great Buffalo is on defense anyway. I mean, you look at them last year, and it was a lot of bad quarterbacks, a lot of bad weather games. I think they're, a machine on offense. I think they're very mediocre on defense. And I think you have to play Buffalo with the mindset, like, look, we got to score 30 points to beat these guys. We got to go for it on fourth down. So to me, this is a back and forth, 31-28 type of game. I like the over. And I did make a prop bet. Allen Robinson over receiving yards. I think he'll have a big year. First of all, you have Kupp to take all the attention from the defense. You have a better quarterback situation than he's ever had. He's had all those guys in Chicago with bad weather. Now he gets Stafford in good weather. And Jefferson is banged up. I don't think he's going to play. And again, the Bills secondary is beat up. So I could see Allen Robinson having a big game. His total is in the low 60s here. I like that over for Allen Robinson receiving yards.
And you tied him up with the Vikings in a teaser?
I did. The Vikings are required by law to play one score games. So, I mean, that one's already a winner.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. Required by law. Let me ask you this. Oh, but this is Rams Bills game tomorrow night. Is true or false, the only outcome that would surprise you of the four, Bills close win, Rams close win, Bills blowout, let's call a blowout double digits, Rams double digit win is the last one. The Rams rolling the Bills. Is that not the only outcome that surprises you here?
That would mildly surprise me. I don't know how surprised you can be by anything in week one, just because nobody plays in the preseason. These week ones are, it's almost an extension of the preseason where anything can happen. I mean, last year, what was it? Green Bay lost by a million points to the Saints on that neutral field game. So week one, you can pretty much throw any result at me. I wouldn't be shocked, but I think you make a good point that that's probably the most unlikely of the four outcomes.
Well, everything you're saying is right, though. I mean, we'll say it one more time. Going from four games of preseason to three did not just turn out to be the lessening of it by one game. It turned out to be a whole different way to approach preseason. And by that, it wasn't the structure of, well, everybody's going to play week three, and then we're going to rest everybody week four. It didn't end up being that way. Like, some end up playing week one, some week two. There's no uniformity to it anymore. So I think you do have this very, in what is already an impossible sport to beat, long-term pre-flop, you now have this extra September run of a few weeks at the top where you know even less than you think you do. And I think that's the biggest thing of all this is the humility of, and maybe your answer is correct, hey, if the Rams do blow them out, should we really be surprised? Like, we're so locked into the fact, oh, the Bills are the best team and the Rams are the Super Bowl champions, they're going to have a hangover. We don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens on Thursday night. Should be entertaining no matter what. The kickoff to the NFL season. Are you in Survivor? Are you playing this game?
I am playing a Survivor. I am still undecided. I'm curious, did you make a decision where you went yet? Because, man, it's not easy. Like you've talked about for a while here, they did not make it easy on us week one. It's all the road teams are favored, in that teaser zone by six or seven. So it is not easy. I'm curious where you're leaning.
I'm not in this game. I'm not touching it. I'm not doing the whole thing where I'm, playing it and then re-upping. I'm not doing it. I'm moving along from this game. Plus, there's implications about saving these teams for later also, which is the bigger factor as well. So I don't want any part of this. But as far as Sunday, I've got thoughts, as I've given. Titans are in there. Browns are in there. I haven't decided quite yet. You?
Haven't decided. Boy, you would think of using the Browns in Survivor?
Yeah, I am.
Wow, that would be interesting from a game theory perspective. I hadn't thought of that one. I probably have. I've weighed all options here, but I don't know. Wow, that's definitely an interesting way to go.
It's tough because, you should probably try to do the conservative thing early before you sort of play game theory and try to win it, because you got to just sort of because we don't really know. So it's this confluence of things where you don't know and yet you're trying to be conservative, but how can you be conservative if you don't know? It's a whole thing. It just messes with your mind.
It's not about surviving. It's about winning, or so I've been told.
There's my guy, Will Hill, everybody, at not the Will Hill, two E's on the V. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
See you guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Dan Weston from across the pond on the U.S. Open next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is football season, and bettors know that this is when the money's made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get our comprehensive college and pro guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up early and for a discounted $175, you'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidland is here as well. Kelly, you were saying off air, because I asked Will, I was like, what's the most surprising outcome of that Bills-Rams game tomorrow? Your answer was?
Yeah, I think the only thing that would really surprise me if it was a really low-scoring game. If this was somehow a 17-14 game or something, I agree with Will on that. I'm not running to play the over at 52, but if I had to play the total, it would be on the over. It wouldn't be on the under. I'm on the Bills for tomorrow night, but that was a bet I put in about 3-4 weeks ago on the heels of that Stafford elbow reports coming out. I don't know if I would be running to bet this game tomorrow if I hadn't had that bet in already, but I still kind of lean the Bills side anyways.
Rams and teaser legs. That's how I'm involved. Rams and all kinds of teaser legs. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read this one. Tom Knopf, hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, would love to hear Dan Weston's thoughts on the England essay test starting tomorrow. Hashtag cricket. Ladies and gentlemen, first time having him on during the U.S. Open at Tennis Ratings. Betting.co.uk is where you can find all this stuff. It's Dan Weston, our long-lost friend. How you doing, Dano?
I'm good, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Are we supposed to talk about what that guy just tweeted about?
I don't know. Be an interesting guy, that's for sure.
Yeah, Kelly and I, we were saying earlier, we were thinking about, like, if we did a whole cricket segment on our own, how long it would take for people to realize we know nothing. So I'm just curious, one question on this, just from a macro standpoint. Do you find it's funny, because I was a baseball guy before I became a tennis guy, and one of the reasons why I loved baseball is because really it was an individual sport disguised as a team sport. Is that sort of what gravitated you towards cricket broadly as well?
It's an interesting comparison, Gil, definitely. So, again, use that phrase, which I think is so apt, which is an individual sport dressed up as a team sport, and I think that's exactly the same for cricket.
Okay, well, we wish you luck in all that you do with that. We, of course, love talking tennis with you, and one of my future plays, my only one on the men's side, Nick Kyrgios, went down in flames last night, Dano, as Karen Khachanov beats him in five sets. And Kyrgios just Kyrgios'd. He just absolutely cannot seem to take any given match seriously from beginning to end, nor any tournament from beginning to end. Do you agree that that's it? That was his chance to win a major, and it's never going to happen.
I don't think it's never going to happen, but I think that was his best chance so far. Obviously, with all of the traditional elite out of the competition now, prior to his exit, I should say, he was tournament favourite before the match started as well. So, you know, this is going to get as good a chance as he would have got so far. Pretty sure that's the shortest he's traded in a major at this stage of his career as well. But you can never say never, because obviously he's got that talent. He's got the incredible serve. Probably, I mean, I don't really believe in sort of clutch ability so much in tennis, but I think if there's anyone who does have it, it's him. But then you think, well, okay, well, we're gonna see this changing of a guard with Nadal and Djokovic and others sort of falling off the perch and not being number one or number two or number top five in the near future. And he's one of those players that can definitely step up. And I'm looking forward to this kind of more competitive top 10. That makes sense.
I am too. Speaking of which, the remainder of the men's side of the U.S. Open, where it looks like now at this point that Casper Ruud and Carlitos could be headed for a clash in the finals. How do you see the rest of this playing out?
Yeah, so good win for Casper yesterday over Matteo Berrettini. I read somewhere that if there's a scenario where Casper can get to world number one even without winning this, then he would have never won a tournament above a 250 level tournament.
That's amazing. It's funny you say that, because I heard conflicting reports. At first it was, if Ruud wins the tournament, he's number one, or if Carlos Alcaraz wins the tournament, he's number one. If either fails to do so, Nadal is number one. Now I'm hearing the same thing you're hearing, which is, and I don't know how the rankings necessarily work. It's not really what we're into first and foremost, but it does appear there is a scenario where they could be number one. That'd be an amazing stat about Ruud. Do you have any play on the men's side today?
Yeah, I do. I'm in favor of Andre Rublev against Francis Tiafoe for several reasons. I mean, firstly, although obviously he's got to the quarterfinal, I felt Tiafoe was overrated in a couple of earlier matches against Jason Kubler and Schwartzman, who when they were like heavy underdogs against him, and he kind of got the job done against them, but won sort of 52-53% of points in the match. Opponents winning 47-48%. These are tight wins, you know, and I don't think he's as dominant as what people are thinking right now. And I think a lot of the time I quite like to fade players who have just had this like career high victory as well. So, you know, that win over Nadal, is that his, in English we might call it his cup final, you know? That's really like the big point for him. And Rublev in the next round is a come down from beating Nadal, no matter, even though it's still a Grand Slam quarter final, you know? Yeah. And stats-wise, Rublev does have better stats than him this season on hard court. So I'm pretty surprised that The pricing is just a very, very slight favourite for Rublev, very, very slight favourite. And, you know, he was a strong favourite at Indian Wells against Tiafoe in March.
So Andre Rublev is Dan's play on the men's side, 12 noon Eastern, you know how this goes, or when they get around to actually having this match once the first one has gone by the wayside. Okay, anything on Sinner Alcaraz? You're passing there.
Yeah, I'll pass that. I think it's going to be a really good match, actually, and probably quite a few breaks, twists and turns. One where I think that, you know, long sets and a long match is definitely possible. Alcaraz is obviously the favorite, but I think the price is about right.
Okay, ladies side, I took a position on Karolina Pliskova yesterday against Aryna Sabalenka. I'm curious how you see that match, first one of the day.
Yeah, so Pliskova against Sabalenka. I'm a bit arming and ahhing about it, really, to be honest with you. I think the price is kind of about right. Maybe Sabalenka, I think, deserves to be a very, very, very slight favorite, which she is in the market. She has better numbers in the tournament so far compared to Pliskova. And again, it's they're very, very similar in this year as well. And if you're looking at hardcore data this year, there's not much between the two players at all. But interestingly, and I don't know if you know this, Gil, and this is a bit of a shame for your bet,
yeah,
is that the four head-to-head matches between the two players have all been won by the underdog in the lifetime. So, yeah, those trends mean nothing to me, but it's an interesting one to point out.
Yeah, that's it. I think we're both on the same page with trends like that. Yeah, but it is interesting to note anyway. Iga and Pegula. Yeah. Any value on Pegula here? She has tremendous hardcore numbers going up against the world number one.
I don't think so. Pegula's serve this year, her serve in this tournament, she's won 70% of service points, which is pretty phenomenal. But Swiatek does have that incredible return game, and the problem that Pegula will find is that they've played each other twice this year, and she's won less than 50% of service points against Swiatek. So that's going to have to change.
Yeah,
there to be an upset, that's for sure. So Pegula's going to have to serve extremely well. And I think Swiatek may be a slight off day.
Yeah, this is. Would you agree this is one of those where Pegula's numbers may be good, but her game doesn't match up well with Iga's? That's sort of the issue.
Yeah, I think to some degree that's definitely the case, yeah.
So if we look at the women's side then, is there a bet? If somebody's landing on this right now and they're like, listen, I want to make a bet here on either the men's or the women's side, but particularly the women's side here, I'm curious, is there a long shot play or do you believe, and obviously Caroline Garcia right now is a shorter shot than Iga because she has one fewer match to play. Do you see this as a collision course between Garcia and Swiatek?
I think if you're looking at stats over the last 3 months, that would definitely be the case. Pegula would be shorter in the market if she didn't have to play Swiatek today. And I think that those three are probably the three that I would rate higher than the others at this point in time. But for me, Swiatek is the clear favourite. And should she win today, she'll be a very, very snug tournament favourite for this tournament. And I still think that 3.5 on her roughly is a decent line. I mean, she was like 5 before the tournament, so it's barely changed.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are saying, oh, she's struggling a little bit, but she's struggling for her. Does that make sense? I mean, like, any other player would be delighted with the results that she's getting right now.
It's amazing, Dan. Struggling for her is what I was trying to tell everybody. She won 37 matches in a row. She lost a match, and then everyone goes after me. I'm like, what do you want? You thought she was going to win every match for the rest of time? So
38.
Funny. So funny. All right, so Rublev, the pick from Dan Westin today. I am on Pliskova. Thank you, Dan. It's great to see you, man. We should do this more often.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care.
Dan Westin, everybody, at Tennis Ratings. Always a pleasure to hear Dano. Kelly and I breaking down week one in the NFL, game by game. Brief thoughts on all next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention, BetMGM customers. Have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account and click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up, makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and a wager settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Kelly Midlin Bidlin.
Hey-o!
You ready for the NFL?
Of course I am. Gil, you think you're going to always remember that my first cash bet on this show was a WNBA game?
We should probably talk about that.
That was a great game, actually.
So, yeah, the first game stunk. So, Connecticut Sun beat the Chicago Sky. That goes to a fifth and final deciding game to determine who goes to the WNBA Finals. But we do know now that the Las Vegas Aces are in the WNBA Finals under head coach Becky Hammon, trying to become the first Vegas professional franchise to ever win a championship.
Yep.
Just want to throw that out.
Fact.
I was going to tell you, Kelly was so moved by that comment. He's like, that is true.
Trivia question. How many professional Las Vegas sports teams?
Just trying to hype people up here in studio. I didn't get much back. So, okay. So here's the deal. So first of all, let me just say this. I watched more WNBA game last night than I have in my entire life.
I have watched more in the past 10 days than I have the past two seasons.
Breanna Stewart
is amazing.
Is spectacular.
I wish someone out there played some of those props we talked about.
I mentioned it
a couple times. Of course, Vegas didn't have any posted. I think she hit those numbers by halftime.
She had 26 at the half. By the way, it's also bothered me about the broadcast. It's like, is anybody going to tell us like what the most points ever scored in a WNBA game is? I had to look it up. It's 53.
Yeah, you texted it to me before I ever heard it on the broadcast.
She ended up with 40, I believe.
42.
42 in defeat. The Aces get it done. And this instant WNBA analysis, the Aces can beat you all kinds of different ways. There you go. See what I did there? That is your VSiN pro tip. No, I'm kidding. So the Aces are in there. But the unders did not hit. Those two games soared over.
Yeah.
Daniele was a little upset.
Man, that fourth quarter of that game, 64 points scored.
They're hitting some shots, man.
Asia Wilson playing all 40 minutes of that game again. 23 points, 13 rebounds for the Aces. Chelsea Gray could not miss.
Chelsea Gray
that
with
was
the big
incredible.
Shots. Big shots at the end.
31 points, 10 assists for her. Plum with 15. Yeah, Breanna Stewart's line, 42 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 1 turnover.
It's really, really entertaining. As Kyrgios was losing, and I was flipping back and forth. That was not fun. So, National Football League. That was the original point of this. I don't know how we got straight there. So, NFL, week 1. So, Kelly, you and I are going to do this all year. We're going to pick. Now, these are not our bets.
Yeah.
But Kelly and I are just going to we're going to pick every side for every game, just mano a mano, and see what happens.
Yeah. A lot of planning went into this. Gil and I had a whole 1 minute conversation before this segment.
Of planning. It was a whole rehearsal and everything. And then we've decided we're going to do this. Now, maybe at some point in the season, we'll figure out a way to add things to it.
Yeah. We'll make it a side bet in between us, though.
Okay.
So,
first of all, today we'll just pick tomorrow's game?
Yeah, today we'll just pick tomorrow's game, but we're going to run through as many games as we can here.
Okay.
But the idea is, I think it will be a good exercise of, hey, this is how difficult it really is to beat the NFL pre-flop when you just pick every side of every game.
Every single game.
And what our winning percentage will be after, a month, 3 months, season.
I'm going to set my over-under pre-flop, picking every game at 48%.
Yeah, that's probably a good number.
Okay. So, let's just pick tomorrow's game. So, the only thing, real betting-wise that I have going on are Rams teaser legs. But I would take the Bills tomorrow night in our little stupid game.
I would take the Bills, too. Okay. I'm on the Bills. I'll take the Bills.
In our little stupid game. Again, I don't even pretend to know how this game is going to go tomorrow night. We'll just do little thoughts on each game. This is one of those where I'm like, I'm just going to sit back, get entertained, and hope the Rams keep it close.
Yeah, I think it's great. Look, I think as Will Hill brought up, I think there's question marks on both sides heading into this game. The Bills with a couple injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Could this be an absolute barn burner? I do think this Stafford elbow thing is interesting to me, at least. I'm interested to see if this, I don't know if it's going to play a role. I would almost expect it doesn't in this game tomorrow night, but it's more interesting to see how it might affect him throughout the season.
That's what I agree with. I don't think we'll see it tomorrow night, but yes, monitor that situation. There's got to be a little more there than they're letting on.
I think so, too. There's been way too much reporting about it, Gil, for there not to be, right? It's one of those where there's smoke, there's fire somewhere.
All right, we got to go rapid fire. Saints at Falcons. These are the early games now on Sunday. Saints at Falcons. Saints obviously favored. A lot of people thinking the Falcons are going to stink this year. But it's Jameis. Saints by 5.5. No man's land. What do you think?
Gross. Absolutely no bet for me. If I had to, Falcons plus 5.5.
No bet. We're not giving our picks yet, are we?
Just roll through it.
Okay. 49ers at Bears. 49ers at Bears. Also early window. Trey Lance with the start. He is your starting quarterback. Niners now favored by a touchdown. Bears expected by many to be perhaps the worst team in the National Football League. We don't know what we're getting from Trey Lance, but the reviews are good. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think it's shocking that they're laying 7 with him. In this situation on the road. The Bears team is so bad to me though, Gil. I could not get there betting the Bills plus 7. This is a game I want absolutely nothing to do with this weekend.
I will not touch it. Although I will say, if the Niners win it like 42-7, the overreaction on that is going to be massive.
Oh gosh,
massive.
You're right. There's a very good chance that could happen, Gil. Yeah. And yes, it will be gross to listen to.
Steelers and Bengals. Bengals favored by 6.5. Division game in the AFC North. I am actually taking the points in this game because, prove it to me, Bengals. They had a magical run in the postseason last year. I don't think the Steelers, I get it, it's Mitch Trubisky. I'm probably a little higher than Mitch Trubisky than most.
See, I think I am too, but I'm still not as high on this Steelers team overall. Complete non-play for me here. But if one way or the other, I would take the points with the Steelers.
Eagles at Lions, a battle of the two most hyped off-season teams in history. The Lions at Hard Knocks, the Eagles by every handicapper we've ever met in our entire lives. Eagles by 4. I want no part of it.
Yeah, no part of it. If anything, I'd look at the under. Slightly into the under for me, 48.5.
Patriots at Dolphins, also in the early window. AFC East battle right out of the gate. Dolphins now favored by 3 in the hook. Just on the hook, would you take the Patriots here?
That got more interesting to me yesterday. This move into 3.5. Everybody who wants to bring up the Patriots playing down in South Florida, Patriots did arrive in West Palm Beach yesterday to practice and get acclimated to the humidity all week. I think that's something you should keep in mind. Plus 3.5, I would go on that side.
Ravens at Jets. These two teams play the opposing divisions the first 4 weeks of the season. Ravens of another perfect preseason. 7-point favorites at the Jets. Zach Wilson, maybe? Maybe?
Maybe. Still questionable for week one. Either him or Flacco. I'll lay the 7. I would lay the 7 with the Ravens. And prove it to me, Jets.
That's right. Prove it to me, Jets.
And if you're betting against them, so I have the Ravens in a couple teasers, Gil. Which quarterback would you rather face? I don't even know what the answer is.
I don't know the answer. Flacco or Wilson? I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea. Jaguars at Commanders. Commanders. I've heard of them. Commanders by 2.5. Please, I want no part of this. It's Carson Wentz debut in Washington. I could be on death watch 2 hours after this game.
Yeah, I will say this is this will be a contest play and probably my survivor play, Gil. Commanders this game this week, but no bet for me.
Browns at Panthers. Panthers with Baker Mayfield. Browns with Jacoby Brissett. Somehow the Panthers are favored. I don't really know if I get that.
Line adjusted today, though, Gil. This is really the only one I saw come down this morning. 1.5 now off 2.5 yesterday.
Las Vegas Chris, 100% right. All of these lines are moving. He was right what he said the other day, that he would see a whole bunch more line movement. Chrissy corroborated it with me yesterday here. Already after the show.
I believe you and I both have Browns in multiple teasers, right? Yes. That's the way we're playing. It's quickly becoming my favorite teaser leg of the week.
Yep. Colts at Texans. Colts favored by 7.5. It's not a Wong teaser leg. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, also in multiple teasers for me, what could possibly go wrong? You're absolutely right, Gil. It's one of those that feels so easy. Just so easy. Matt Ryan, that new look offense, rolling in there to Houston. What could go wrong?
They should crush him. Late games, afternoon games anyway. Giants at Titans. Titans will be a very popular survivor pick. The Titans favored by 6. Giants loved by some handicappers. Titans the opposite, it seems. Would you take them in Survivor?
No. I would be taking points in this game or nothing. I would be taking the 6 with the Giants.
Packers at Vikings. Vikings, the teaser leg that I love.
Yep. We're all over that one.
Chiefs at Cardinals. Stay away. Yes?
Yeah, although, Gil, this number up to 6 now, if it keeps climbing,
yeah,
they might be forcing me into making a bet on the Cardinals.
Raiders at Chargers. Chargers up to 3.5 in most places now. Does that make you want to take the Raiders?
No. No, it would have been Chargers laying the 3 or nothing.
And then the Bucks Cowboys.
We'll gosh, that might be the number one game of the week that I want nothing to do with.
We'll do the late game afterwards. Yeah. By the way, don't overreact to anything that happens week one in the NFL. There'll be upsets. Don't immediately move off your preseason opinions of teams. That's your pro tip of the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Jason Weingarten.